We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Kits and Wagers. I'm Adam Zdroik, joined by Chris Owen. We're talking game week 24 in the Premier League. We're going to give our bets. Chris, oh man, last week, Chris, should I say it? Chris went 0-4. I went 4-0. Are you okay right now?
Yeah, definitely okay.
Liverpool got the win, though. Liverpool got the win.
It's a transparent podcast, so... Yeah, not how I wanted to do it, but kind of, you know, fail to prepare to fail, I think, type of deal. I did go 0-4. I had four of the blandest bets possible. I had two on both teams to score, and then I had two on double chance. Neither team got a draw or a win, and then I think it was a no on both teams to score. Didn't work out. That's okay. I did bet against Liverpool. Liverpool did win, so I like slightly better for my mental health, which is fun. You know, in the end, I wanted them to win. So, but yeah, would have liked to get one right. And then prior to that, I had been kind of like on the up and up. You know, I had been stringing together a couple wins here and there, and my record had gotten better. My record's probably a lot closer to 500 now, or even. So that's okay. We're gonna try and get it right this week. I dedicated a little bit more time to it, and you know, most of all. I kind of like these matchups better. Last week we had some matchups that were like maybe not my favorite, maybe not our favorite, to be honest. Right. But this week I think we got a couple of good ones. And I didn't even hear your second end of the parlay yet, so I'm interested to get to the end of the show and hear that. But yeah, looking forward to it. And then you know, outside of that, I did want to mention that the MLS dropped about, I think it was 13 kits yesterday. This is the Kits and Wagers podcast.
Gotta talk about it.
Yeah, so we got I did a quick find myself a summary article of some of the best kits. And for myself here, I live in Seattle. I'm an adopted Seattle Sounders fan. You know, I never really had an MLS team, but because I'm so close to it, I might as well at least go to the games and enjoy them. So I previously had the Jimi Hendrix, like a second away kit, which is honestly a really cool kit. At first I was like, but you know, the kind of like purple haze-ish, like little ode to Jimi Hendrix, one of Seattle's own, had to get that. But so they came out with a Bruce Lee inspired, kit, and it's 50 years since his last movie before he passed away. And, you know, Bruce Lee, he was, I don't know whether he grew up here or spent a lot of time here, but there's a pretty cool museum exhibition here about his life. And, definitely worthwhile to see if you're ever in town. But yeah, that one was really cool. And I love like some of the little, I think it was like the most well thought out MLS kit drop. You know, there's some cool videos. Atlanta had one. It was like, we are the A, you know, and it was like them getting real like pumped. It was just like, it was like their kit that they have every year. It was their primary. So that was fine. But I think a couple ones that weren't so great were maybe the Austin FC one.
I was going to mention that. I'm looking through your list right now.
It looks like a barcode. I mean, like,
what is this?
It looks like it's kind of rough. Like, of course, in the kit that they had last year, I thought looked really sharp. And they just, like, took those, like, good straight, like, those nice lines. Like, former, it kind of looked like a Newcastle kit a little bit.
Different stories, different voices. That's what all the stripes are.
Yeah, and I thought that one kind of sucked. But a couple other highlights. The Portland Timbers kit, it's their primary as well. And that looks kind of like a bad green suit. It's got like the, yeah, just that, I wasn't super into that one. I kind of like the Philadelphia Union one. And then another highlight, the Philadelphia Union one kind of does look like a little camo-ish. And then I saw somebody on Twitter was comparing it to like the Simpsons clouds. So like at the beginning of the Simpsons, when they come in and they like go into Springfield and they're like looking at, like, you can see the clouds, and it kind of looks like that kit a little bit. But yeah, I think other than that, the kit does look pretty sharp. And then the other highlight, I thought the Colorado kit was really cool. It was a sunrise and sunsets themed, and it had like some fuchsia in there. Like, just the colors look really good and something you'd want to wear out maybe. But yeah, those are a couple of the highlights and a couple of the lowlights for me. Anything that you saw on the kits that you're like, maybe I might get that one?
I think the Charlotte FC Crown Jewel kit, it's purple with blue lettering is interesting. But I mean, the new team, St. Louis City, is their sponsor is Purina. So can we get like a puppy kit?
Whoa, there we go.
Their kit is just, I mean, they got their team colors. It's decent. Adidas kit, different shade of red here. But, I mean, we need some kind of puppy kit. I think that's what, I mean, if you get Purina as your sponsor, yeah, you need to mix an animal some way.
The pup kit?
Yeah.
Also, yeah, interesting. Have we seen a dog food sponsor before?
I don't know. I don't think so. That's why it's standing out to me here.
Yeah, all right, well. Pup kit, and we're into that one.
Pup kit. Yeah, but this is a Premier League show, so you can see our records if you're watching on YouTube or Twitter. We got a betting records page that has all of our records for all of the teams. I will say one thing I'm maybe disappointed in myself is that I didn't include our parlay teams that we actually bet into these records. So it's just, we have the parlay records. I'm actually catching up to Chris on the parlay records here, but 41 and 19, I am. That's what, on $100 bets, it's more than 2,500 up. Chris, he's still above 500. I think that's the most important part. 29, 27, and 1. And we have the big thing this week. We're talking a Leicester City match. I'm 7-0 on Leicester City matches this season. Wow. Can we get to the 8-0 I was at with Manchester United? I don't know. Well, actually, look at this. Leicester City at Manchester United. I'm 7-0 on Leicester and 8-1 on Manchester United. There's a lot of pressure riding on my bet this week.
What you're saying is maybe you're 15-1 collectively on these two teams. So, you know, listen up when Adam starts to talk Leicester City, Manchester United.
I think a loss is inevitable now that we're kind of diving into these numbers.
Crank up the volume, tell the kids to be quiet.
But before we get to that one, we got Brighton against Fulham next. As I get to our numbers page, you can get minus 150 at points bet. Brighton are a decent favorite. I don't always go to this front page on the Premier League betting, but it's going to be a busy Saturday, I believe. So we have 8 Premier League matches on Saturday. We have 2 on Sunday, a little slower. So we're talking 2 Saturday matches, I believe, at the same time, and then 1 on Sunday. So this Brighton, our home at DraftKings, we're getting Brighton minus 155 to win, Fulham plus 425. The draw is plus 310. And over 2.5 goals is minus 135. Under 2.5 goals, plus 110. So this is a surprising top 10 battle here between two teams that have, you know, steadily remained in the top 10. Fulham have been staying strong. Brighton are, you know, considered, I would argue they're considered a top 6 team right now in the league. Probably not Fulham, maybe just top 10. But how do you see this match going here?
Yeah, no, interesting matchup. We expected Brighton to be top third, maybe, of the table heading into the season, at least top half. They've shown that they can do that. And then Fulham is a huge surprise. They have, went on a nice run, and then I think they did get a result last weekend over, I think it was against...
It was Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, they got the 2-0 win. So they're playing decent. And then, you know, this one's at Brighton, so a tough place to play traditionally. I'm interested because, yeah, like you said, Brighton, you know, they're seventh in the table right now. They have two games in hand on Tottenham, who has, I believe it's they've got 4 points on them. So they will need to take, you know, almost maximum points to get into that top six. But other than that, yeah, playing good. Not really too many, as far as I can remember, not too many injury concerns with them in this matchup. But they, I'm interested to see if Evan Ferguson gets back in the starting 11.
Yeah.
He, like, you know, made a couple appearances that were pretty solid and gave them another dimension at forward, especially, you know, with a couple of players now no longer on the team. So, yeah, it should be interesting. I will say, you know, when I looked at this one initially, I was like, this feels like Fulham have been very sturdy defensively. That's, like, to their credit, that's what's got them to success. They've been holding teams to not a ton of goals. And so I looked in it at what bets do I like on this one. And, you know, at first, the under 2.5 goals is plus 110. That was intriguing to me. However, I'm not sure where I see the goals coming from in this one. So I'm going to go back to the well from where I was last week, even though it might have spurned me a little bit. But we're going no on both teams to score at plus 110. If you don't like that and you still think that this game's going to be under 3 goals, you can get the under 2.5 goals at plus 110, which honestly might be a better bet. Same odds, but you get a little bit more options there, where if it's a 1-1 game, you still cash out there. So to keep that in mind, but I'm on no on both teams to score. I think that they might struggle for goals in this.
Are you worried about a 1-1 result here with this bet? That's always the worry with no on both teams to score compared to under 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as we speak about it here, definitely. I like the multitude of options that you get with the under, same odds. But yeah, I think tough to say, but yeah, it's like no on both teams to score is essentially, I mean, you're good on a 3-0, which I don't think this is going to be like Brighton 3-0 or Fulham 3-0.
I think it could be, but
yeah, but I think the higher possibility is it being like a 1-1 and still the 2.5 hitting rather than like a no on both teams to score and it being a 3-0. So yeah, a little concerned, but I think both bets could cash, and I think, you know, I like the possibility of both of them doing so.
Yeah, I mean, these teams last played in September. Fulham won at home 2-1. I mean, it was super early in the season, so I don't think there's any reason really to put anything into it. Brighton started Pascal Gross and Leandro Trossard at forward. Graham Potter was still their manager, so bit of a different matchup. You mentioned a little bit of the injuries. Yeah, we'll see if Ferguson starts. Undav has played well at times. It seems both those guys are above, veteran Danny Welbeck on up top there. Danny Welbeck now seems like the third forward, which, you know, pouring out for Danny Welbeck being a starter, I guess, when he's getting surpassed by Ferguson and Undav. But I think the big thing with Fulham, we'll see what happens with Willian. I think Marco Silva had his presser just before our show, kind of said late fitness test, a bit of an issue with his calf. We know he's already an older player having an issue with his calf, usually not a great thing. And I mean, you look at that Forest game last week, Willian had a great goal. He was probably their most creative player. And if you remove him from the team, I think that is another boost for where you're going with the no on both teams to score an under 2.5. You combine that with how Brighton are kind of dominating matches, but they've had a little bit of trouble actually scoring lately. Also of note, Alexis McAllister moved into more of an attacking role last match. We'll see if that happens again, where you got Gross and Caicedo playing as defensive midfielders. But I'm going, you know, I got a bunch of corner bets on this show, and it's not surprising. That's what I do. It's the bread and butter. You can see my record. Speaks for itself. I'm going Brighton -1 corner in the first half. These odds change a lot. We're talking Thursday morning. You know, I've waited a lot on these corner bets. This one's currently -115. I assume the odds are going to change here in the couple days. On a lot of these, I wait until Saturday just to see lineups, and the numbers are gone. So just as a heads up, if you're betting some of these corner ones, they seem to move a little more than something like a double chance or a no on both teams to score kind of a thing. So something to keep an eye on. I just think from the start, Brighton are at home. They're going to control possession. They're going to get more opportunities and just going to, you know, rely on that to lead to corners. So there you go. Minus one corner in the first half, minus 115 there for Brighton.
Interesting. Yeah, no, Will I Ann would be tough for Fulham. He's like, looked like a changed player. Like, I think we probably saw the end of him, you know, as his career kind of tapered off, and then he just lands on Fulham and scored like an incredible goal last week. Was that against
That was Nottingham Forest game.
Yeah, that was a sick goal.
He had a couple. I think another one off the post. Like, I mean, he looked like almost their best player. So also Mitrovic may not be 100% either. I should note that. So
yeah. And then, you know, of course Fulham was in the championship last year, so they didn't play each other last year. But the year prior, when Fulham was back in the Premier League, it was both matches were 0-0. So two totally different sides given the investment that Fulham's got. You know, Graham Potter obviously gone from Brighton, but you know, kind of worth noting there.
Yeah, we got some comments from some friends here. They're telling us not to end the kit discussions, so I'm asking what other league do they want us to talk about here from Chris Robinson. All right, but next match we're going to. This is a relegation battle. We go from a surprising top 10 tilt to probably not a surprising relegation battle here, but Wolverhampton are home, and maybe kind of surprising, they're minus 145 to win. Wolverhampton, minus 145 to win. Bournemouth, plus 425. The draw is plus 285. Over 2.5 goals, plus 110. Under 2.5 goals, minus 135. Last week, Chris, we had opposite bets on the Wolverhampton-Southampton match. I took both teams to score. You took no on both teams to score. Wolverhampton ended up getting Nathan Jones sacked out of Southampton because they won 2-1. They scored two goals down a man. Are you sold yet on Wolverhampton's ability to attack under Lopetegui as compared to like their prior three managers?
Yeah, that was interesting. Nathan Jones I feel like he's got a bad PR guy. I was listening to a variety of podcasts this week. I think was it
the two everyone hates him.
Everyone hates Nathan Jones. I saw Ashley Williams. I saw a video. I think he was on Sky or one of those shows or something like that. He was just like, "Yeah, Nathan Jones." When he worked at Stoke, he had no idea like what he was doing.
Gave us no direction. Yeah, I saw that.
I was like, "Jeez, dude! Like, man, kick a guy while he's down."
And yeah, I mean, not to talk about Southampton, but Nathan Jones. I think he took Luton Town from the fourth division to the second division in a couple of years. So it's like, I mean, this guy has to know something to take Luton Town to the championship. But yeah. I mean, maybe not. I don't know.
And then he kind of went out with a guns blazing approach, at least in the press, when he was like, "I'm going to start playing my game. Like, enough of the shackles." But anyways, this show is not about Nathan Jones and what happened to him, but I mean, Wolves last week came back. I believe they were down 1-0, and then they were red carded, and then I think Lamina got a red card, and then all of a sudden they come back was it Lamina? I forget who it was that got red carded, but they come back and win 2-1 for Wolves. I do feel a lot stronger about their attack now. Wolves never going to be an awesome, you know, they're not going to get the engine revving. They're not going to put up like 3-4 goals a game. That's not their game. That's not how they're
unless built. They play Liverpool, remember.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for bringing that up. So I mean this week Bournemouth, I think there was two different opinions on this. I gotta look at the table, but in terms of goals at, so Wolves is at home, correct?
Yes.
Wolves, in terms of all Premier League teams, Wolves ranks last in goals at home. They've scored 9 goals in 14 matches at home. They've given up 14 goals at home as well. So they have not been scoring. So I do think that they're in a bit better way, at least in the last few matches, of them being able to find the back of the net. And then in terms of away teams, I believe Bournemouth is like kind of mid-table here. They've got 9 goals in 11 away matches, and they've conceded an absurd 32 goals away from home. So something's got to give here in terms of Wolves being able to score goals, or their lack of ability to score goals at home versus Bournemouth giving up over 30 goals in 11 matches. But so that's, I guess that brings me to my bet. I think that, you know, Bournemouth, they're terrible at scoring goals away. Wolves, pretty solid, at least in terms of defense. They've only conceded 14. So I got a little bit out of my comfort zone for this bet. I think last week, you know, kind of shook me to my core when I went 0-4. So now I'm searching for a little something different. And I'm going to go with a goal bans bet. You can find this over on, I think it's game, whatever it is, on DraftKings. But I'm going to go, I like a goal bans of one to two goals scored. It's at plus 100, so you're getting even odds. And I think that Bournemouth are going to struggle to score, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see that a couple, like maybe one or two goals out of Wolves here. So I think it's a 1-0, 2-0 match in terms of, in favor of Wolves.
Yeah, I agree with most of what you're saying there. I think Bournemouth, in terms of Bournemouth, they've shown more of a fight in the past few weeks. Maybe it's not led to a ton of results, but I mean they got 1-1 that home match against Newcastle. Their last away match 1-0 at Brighton. Brighton got, I think it must have been Mitoma scored in the final minutes of that one. And then another 1-1 against Nottingham Forest, and then 2-0 loss against Brentford. They should be getting Tavernier back into their squad. They didn't really look like a legit team without him. Traore's been starting. Dango Ouattara has been starting as well. A couple new transfers. Solanke was back from his injury last week. So they're getting some of their guys back. And if Tavernier's back, it should be close to what their, you know, desired starting 11 is. And I think that will help some. And I think that will make it more even, I guess, is kind of what I'm coming to, in that Wolves aren't going to come out and completely dominate. I mean, I guess there's a chance that happens.
I don't expect them to completely dominate either.
Yeah, I mean, you just look at some of the Bournemouth results, and it's like they're just kind of struggling, even against like a team like Brentford. They're just like struggling to possess it. But I just think with all these guys healthy and a couple, you know, the new guys, that they'll at least put up a fight here, and that will limit. My initial worry was that, you know, Wolverhampton would, you know, get 5 corners by themselves in the first half, which I guess is still possible. But I think Bournemouth, how they've looked of late, I think that they can at least fight and make this, you know, more of a match between the final thirds than a match in the final thirds, at least in the first half. So if the match is played more in the middle of the field, then that's going to be less corners. So another corner bet for you, under 4.5 corners in the first half. This one is minus 120. And I think, you know, it's kind of similar to your bet. The hope is that it's not a scoreless draw, I guess, is what the main hope is here for you.
Yeah. I mean, there's two different, I guess, stats here. But in the last 4 games, Bournemouth have scored 2 goals. Each game has been in that 1-2 goal scored band. So you're not expecting a ton of goals. I will give them credit, as one of those goals came against Newcastle last weekend. Newcastle have been one of the best well-set-up defensive teams this season. So, I mean, credit to them there, but they haven't scored a lot of goals. They rank pretty lowly in terms, I think, I guess, overall. They're like bottom third of the table in terms of goals scored with 20 in 22 matches. Wolves on the other side, 17 goals in 23 matches, which ranks them second to last. So this won't be, you know, I wouldn't put any money or towards it being like a 3-0 or a 3-1 or something like that. I would take it, go where you can and take, I don't know what the under one was for this one, but I would, if it had decent odds, I would take a look at that too. It looks like under 2.5 is minus 135, which is just outside the realm of typically bet on, but that would be another potential option if you know, didn't want to go 1-2 goal scored. And right now we have Adam with the Wolves on, so that is noteworthy.
Very noteworthy. I mean, I think we're both on the same side here. Again, I got under 4.5 corners in the first half at minus 20. 120, Chris is at 1-2 goals scored at plus 100.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And for the next match we're talking about, this is one of two Sunday matches. You can see it on the screen here on the odds page. Manchester United are home against Leicester. Of note, we are talking about 2 hours before Manchester United play at Barcelona. So we don't know what their squad looks like. Erik ten Hag doesn't rotate a ton, so I don't think it's going to be a massive deal. But we do see here that because of recent Leicester results, that the line has moved in this matchup. So Manchester United were minus 220 back on February 5th. So 11 days ago, Manchester United were minus 220 to win this game. Currently, as we speak this morning, minus 170 to win. And then you got Leicester plus 450 to win. The draw is plus 330. Over 2.5 goals is minus 170. Over 3.5 goals is plus 145. Under 2.5 goals is plus 135. And before I give it to you, I think we have some questions injury-wise. We'll see what happens with Tielemans. I think that's the main one for Leicester. But again, they beat Tottenham 4-1 last week with Mendy starting over Tielemans. And Mendy had a ridiculous – I think it might have been Leicester's first goal. Mendy had a ridiculous goal for Leicester. And then Casemiro is still suspended. It doesn't seem like Antony's going to be back. It doesn't seem like Martial's going to be back. It doesn't seem like McTominay's going to be back. So we'll probably get, you know, another Fred Sabitzer in the midfield, may get Garnacho or Jadon Sancho starting with Wout Weghorst up there. But otherwise, business as usual there for Manchester United. So what do you got for this one?
Yeah, I don't know why when we looked at this matchup, I feel like this has been one of the more fun matchups to watch in the last couple seasons. There's been some interesting score lines. I mean, earlier this year was Manchester United. This is way back in September, but it was 1-0 to Manchester United. So maybe not the most interesting one, but right as Brendan Rodgers was facing some criticism and Erik ten Hag was also facing criticism at the time. But, you know, prior to that, last season 1-1 and then 4-2 to Leicester. And then the season before that, they did have a few matches where it was 2-1, 3-1, 2-2. So they have had some pretty good games over the past couple of years. I'm interested here. Leicester City coming off that big 4-1 result over Tottenham last week. I didn't really see that one coming, but I think to Leicester's credit, they've gotten a couple players in over the winter transfer market, and maybe that's helped. Maybe Brendan Rodgers is starting to get them shaped up a bit, but they've actually played very well against Manchester United over the past three seasons. But I'm going to focus in on one particular player for my bet, and that's Marcus Rashford. If you go back to since the end of the World Cup, in 9 Premier League games, he scored 8 goals, provided 1 assist. And even going back to the World Cup, where he had 3 goals over 5 matches, he's been on a bit of a tear. I think that's what, no mathematician, but that's 11 goals over 14 games. So good for him. He's looked really good. He looks like, I was talking to a friend and I, you know, was pretty was much a much younger man watching Thierry Henry for Arsenal, but like he just like looks so smooth on the ball. Like he reminds me of, you know, he's just like so strong, so fast, super agile. Thierry Henry always looked like he was in super control. Marcus Rashford is like giving me those vibes right now. So I thought it would be interesting again to get out of some of my typical bets. I'm going to take Marcus Rashford to score -105, which is, I was thinking when I initially looked at that I might get, you know, plus odds, but not the case here. But I do see this, and it looks like you also see this game being a pretty high scoring affair, given what your bet was. But yeah, I like Rashford to score through -105. I was looking at a couple other ones here, and you get lesser double chance, a team who's kind of really been fared pretty well against United, as I mentioned. You get them at double chance +135. They are playing away at Old Trafford, and United, you know, playing really well. Like, we're getting some title shouts for United nowadays, which is not, we haven't seen that in what, like since 2012, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been quite a while since we've had that conversation. But yeah, if you were looking at Leicester, you know, coming off a big result, United playing on a very short week. Is that, I don't know if that game's at Barcelona or
it's at Barcelona. Yeah.
Okay. So they got a little bit of travel and then they have the game on Sunday here, Leicester fully rested. So, I mean, take that in with what you will. But I like Rashford here. He's in this form of his life. And yeah, I guess the only worry there would be, does he start tonight? And then does he come back in and start Sunday too? There might be a little bit of rotating.
No, they're not going to rotate.
You don't think so? I saw Harry Maguire made it back into the side last weekend.
I mean, that's a defense. They're only, like, outside of, they got Bruno, Rashford, Weghorst, Garnacho, and then it's like Jadon Sancho, who also started the last game, and then otherwise it's like Elanga. They don't really have anyone else to come in and start. Like, how much are they going to rotate against Barcelona? How much are they going to rotate in league play when they're kind of, you know, battling for almost a title, at least a top three spot? So he hasn't really rotated much this season, Ten Hag. So that's what I'll say.
Yeah. Well, that's my bet. I like Rashford. He's been super fun to watch. And yeah, I'm getting some Thierry Henry vibes from that dude.
I probably like your bet a little more than mine. It feels like Rashford should be, I don't know, -130, -140. I mean, he's scoring every game. And now you get him going against, you know, the 6'6", Harry Soutar, his third game in the Premier League, I think it is. Yeah. And Vout Face there. Still his first season in the Premier League. You know, Leicester allows goals against everyone. I don't know how many clean sheets they have this season, but it's probably not very many. I'm going over 3.5 goals at +145. The initial worry, again, I always give my initial worries on these bets, but Manchester United seem to lock down teams at home. Their home games seem to be more, less goals. I believe it's 21 scored and 8 against in their home matches. But I think we have to take into consideration today's match against Barcelona. It's not going to be easy. A few days later, I mean, they're in Barcelona. A few days later, they got this one. And unless they rotate a ton, I mean, that's also not going to help very much. But you still got a guy like Fred and Sabitzer in the defensive midfield, who neither one of those guys has played a ton this season. I mean, Sabitzer got a few starts for Bayern Munich, and now he's going to be on, I don't know what this would be, 4 starts in the matter of 2 weeks, something like that, maybe more than that. You know, the same with Fred. He's been a bench option all season without Casemiro and Eriksen there. So, and then you got the attackers as well. So I think there's going to be opportunities. You also throw into the equation that Leicester are actually playing well. James Maddison is healthy again. They got Tete in their lineup, and that adds a little something more in their wing. Iheanacho, I mean, it felt like 2 years ago. It was like, Iheanacho had this awesome 10-game stretch to close the season. Then I remember talking about him before last season, and then he didn't play. He didn't really play. They got Pats and Daka. Daka played over him. Basically, the same thing happened for the first 20 or so matches this season. Then it's like, okay, let's give Iheanacho some time. And all of a sudden, it's like, goal, assist, goal, assist, goal, assist. Yeah. And it's like, okay, well, Leicester are cruising right now. They're scoring. I still don't believe in their back line. So it just feels like there's going to be goals in this match. A tired Manchester United, a Leicester City who usually struggles defensively and who's scoring in bunches right now with, you know, an informed Marcus Rashford. So I like both of our bets here, I guess, is what I just talked myself into.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen McFred at a level we had seen last year, which is probably for the better. Casemiro certainly helped them in the midfield. But yeah, Leicester, I guess we didn't mention this, but Yuri Tillemans was out last week with a calf injury. It didn't seem to hurt them at all as they won 4-1. But yeah, I mean, James Maddison in their lineup is really how they tick. You know, he's easily their best attacking player. And maybe that's why we see Iheanacho like playing a little bit better too. Yeah, kind of wild. I picked him up in like fan tracks this week. Just so I was like, okay, if this guy's like scored back to back games, maybe, you know, we look at these previous results and it's like, okay, maybe he finds back in that once more. But yeah, over 3.5 goals. Does that concern you? I mean, we're looking at a 2-2 game, maybe a 3-1 game. Do you think that's possible?
I think both. Well, maybe not Leicester. I think Manchester United are in play for 3 goals. I could have kept on with another corner bet, but nothing really stood out to me. I see something like a 3-1, 3-2. That's kind of what I'm leaning with this bet. Last week, I took – it must have been in my article. I took in Leicester's Tottenham match, I took both teams to score, no draw. That one finished 4-1, so it hit. And I just think there's going to be goals. I mean, I know the last meeting was 1-0, but Leicester were playing like a different team then. They were just trying to scrape out points. Now it seems like they're actually confident. You know, always going over 3.5 goals, that's a big ask. But I'd be surprised if there was, I don't know, 2 goals or fewer, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, noteworthy too, and you alluded to this, is like Leicester gives up a boatload of goals. They've given up 38 all season. That's tied for third most in the Premier League. And then you've got United, who, like, yes, they've been much better attacking, but they've given up a 28 goals this season, which puts them in the bottom third, I guess, of goals conceded. But they're, you know, Leicester 36 goals scored and United 38. So yeah, I think, you know, a bit of a big ask to get that 4 goals, but these two teams have been involved in matches with quite a few.
Yeah, Leicester allowed at least 2 in their last 3. Well, they've allowed 2 in each of their last 3 away matches. And then they, of course, have all those, you know, they gave up 5 at Brighton. They gave up 6 at Tottenham. So yeah, you got a bunch of terrible matches, which is why their numbers are pretty bad. But
yeah.
All right, so we got team parlay time. I think we missed 2 straight, but we're still up money. Chris gave me his bet this morning, and I changed my bet so I could match it in the same match. And we're going to be talking about this Newcastle-Liverpool match. We got Liverpool at home. Sorry, Newcastle. Newcastle are at home. They're plus 155 to win, so a slight favorite, plus 175 for Liverpool there. And the big thing, we'll see if Thiago's healthy enough. I'm not really sure about him right now. I mean, we could even get like a Jota in the starting 11. He came off the bench last week. That would be interesting. He'd probably come in for Gakpo. But the thing for Newcastle is they got a bunch of absences. Bruno Guimarães is still suspended. We don't know if Callum Wilson will be back. We don't know. I guess Almiron's probably fine. He hurt his wrist last game. St. Maximin came up. I think he tweaked something. So they have some absences they're dealing with, is what it comes down to. So how do you think that plays a role here, in this matchup? Liverpool coming off a win, coming off a nice win, getting a little healthier, whereas Newcastle have kind of had some trouble scoring in the last few matches, but they, for the most part, they've been a team at home that, you know, they kind of dominate possession, they kind of control matches, but without some of their key guys, how do you think that, how do you think that plays into this matchup?
Interesting question about missing the key guys, but I think more or less the keys to success for Newcastle have been their defense. You know, they've conceded the least amount of goals this season with 13. They've conceded, I think this is incredibly impressive for what Eddie Howe has done at Newcastle, but they've conceded 13 goals in 22 matches. only six of those have come at home. So about pretty close to 50-50 split. But, you know, they're missing a couple guys in attack. Maybe no Bruno, as you mentioned, that like that attack is mostly due to him. But their success has not come from them being like blowing the doors off teams. It's come because they've been well set up. They've conceded a very small amount of goals. And then on the other side of things, Liverpool got a result over Everton on Monday, but it easily could have been the other way. You know, the ball comes off the post from Tarkowski's header. They go down 13 seconds later, and they're in the back of Everton's net. So it's like the game could have easily went a different way for them. But I think, you know, going back to the defensive side of things, I thought about two bets for this one. Not this game, but two different games. But I went under 2.5 goals plus 105. As I mentioned, Newcastle really strong defensively. And then Liverpool are returning Virgil van Dijk from injury. He was on the bench for Monday's match against Everton. You know, it's night and day. It's Joe Gomez or Virgil van Dijk. And, you know, Gomez had a couple good seasons, but he's just been very poor lately. They somehow got a clean sheet last week. But I think, you know, that helps. And, you know, maybe we see a bit more of a low scoring affair here. So I'm going on the under 2.5 goals at plus 105. And then the other, this is a not in the parlay, but this is the other bet that I thought about that was not involved in this match, but Everton at home, money line plus 150. Think about it.
Oh, against Leeds?
Yeah.
Everton money line against Leeds. Maybe. I don't know how I want to
get off track that one. Over this game, but
yeah,
you're back on the corners, it looks like.
Yeah, I agree with what you're going with here. I mean, you just look at these two teams. Liverpool have been, you know, since a couple bad losses, they've been a little more defensive. It's not the same Liverpool that we're used to seeing. There hasn't been a ton of corners in those games. And you look at the Newcastle matches, they've kind of struggled a little bit to score as well. And then you throw in the injuries. So I think this will be a pretty tight match where there's not a ton of great opportunities. I almost think, you know, a scoreless draw is in play. There's been a couple of those for Newcastle. I know for a fact, I'm not sure about Liverpool this season, but it just seems like the opportunities are going to be limited with how these teams are playing and with what they've looked like. And I think they're just going to kind of feel things out in the first half. And this is just a, you know, a classic under 4.5 corners in the first half, minus 115. You put that with the under 2.5 goals at plus 105, that's plus 283 odds. Again, our team parlay record is 7-13. We're still up 462 on $100 bets. But yeah, if you want to tinker around with this one, if you only want to do first half, instead of doing the under 2.5 goals, you could just do, you know, under 4.5 corners with under 1.5 goals in the first half. Or if you like the scoreless route, no goals in the first half combined with the under 4.5 corners, something like that. So to where like you're still getting, you know, plus 200, plus 300 kind of odds. With just a first half parlay as well. So just another option if you kind of agree with what both of us are saying for this one.
Yeah, would be good to get back in the win column here for the parlay.
Yeah, we're 7-13 in this parlay. I'm 11-9. Chris is 11-8. So you know that the main thing is that we just both have to be on the same page. And, you know, with this bet, we're on the same page. So I kind of like it.
Yeah, I mean, we're giving out winners, but maybe not on the same week. But that's okay.
Yeah, we're still up money, so that's fine. But that's all we got. We talked a bit on this show. We got a lot of good analysis, but rotowire.com/soccer trial, free 48-hour trial. You can get these cheat sheets. And if you're watching on YouTube or Twitter, make sure to like, make sure to subscribe to our Twitter. You can see in the odds report, we got Manchester City as the biggest favorite away to Nottingham Forest. And then Chelsea coming off their loss against Borussia Dortmund on Wednesday. They are home against, I think it's a manager-less Southampton team, because there were rumors about Jesse Marsh, but I don't think those have been confirmed. Any other thoughts on game week 24 here, Chris?
It doesn't sound like Marsh is going to Southampton, but yeah. Typically, you know, we cover a variety of teams here on the podcast, and this week, no different. Sometimes I'm more excited about talking about matches than other matches, but this week we touched on three matches that are probably ranked at the top tier of the games I want to watch. So, I mean, of course, Brighton Fulham is going to be a good battle of two teams that are kind of going for European places. And then Man United, Leicester City, always a good matchup, at least it seems. And then, finally, Newcastle, Liverpool in the team parlay. A couple games I want to watch. So that's always good when you're watching intriguing games with your bets popping off. So, yeah, let's see what happens. And, you know, I can't go any further down from last week. So let's I feel good about where we're at, I guess.
100% true. All right, you can find Chris at CHROwen8 on Twitter. I am at RotoZadroik. And for all of the RotoWire soccer content, follow RotoWire Soccer on Twitter. I never recommend the home account there, but there you go. Chris, thanks for joining me on this show. Good luck on your bets. And we're going to be 8-0 come Monday morning. But good luck, thanks, and man. See you next week.
Catch you later.